Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
When Jesus wanted to describe a kind of joy that surpassed all circumstances, he used the word blessed. And it might surprise you what qualities of life truly bring blessedness. Stay tuned next with Dr. Chappell as we study on Daily in the Word, the life God blesses. Pretty much everybody wants to be happy. We all long for an inner joy and delight, a sacred blessedness that rises up above every bad day and every season of discouragement. And that's the kind of word Jesus used when he described the joy he brings throughout the circumstances of life. He used the word blessed. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to study the life God blesses, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. It's probably going to surprise you what God truly calls blessed. Before we join the program, I want to invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. At the website, you'll find a link to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find links to Dr. Chappell's newest resources and books and many other things to help you along in your spiritual growth and your walk with God. And so, dailyintheword.org, it's a resource, a treasure box of resources for your spiritual growth. Right now, let's open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Today, we examine verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Here's Paul Chappell.
And this is what the Bible says. Search me, O God, and know my what? Heart. And that's what a Christian should do on a regular basis. A Christian, as we are looking at all the external things, we need to stop looking at the budget sometimes and stop looking at the schedule and stop thinking about where we live or where we work and put all that aside for a minute and say, Lord, I talk with you all the time about all my problems out here, but I just want to talk to you right now, Lord, about me, about my heart. Try my heart, Lord. Because I know that my heart could be deceiving me. And Lord, I want you to try my heart, my innermost being. And Lord, see if there's any wicked way in me. And Lord, if you reveal that to me, I'm going to confess that and become right with you. And you see, this is how we develop a pure heart, by being honest and transparent with God. And so oftentimes in our lives, we have a lack of real vulnerability or transparency in our relationships, and we sort of feign like everything's great, and we do that with others to the point that we think we can do it with God. But God is not deceived, and God knows our heart, and God loves us, and He's merciful towards us. And so when we say, Lord, try my heart, search and know it, see if there be any wicked way in me, as a loving Father, He will show us and He will guide us in that realm. So we put our heart out before God. Then let her see, we ask God to change our heart. We ask God to change our heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 24 and verse 7, I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart to know me. God says when you open your heart up to Him, that He will change that heart and give you a heart to know Him. Now, perhaps today your heart is focused on problems or circumstances. Let me encourage you to focus it on the Lord and let the Lord focus on your heart. Then there's a fourth step in developing a pure heart, and that is, letter D, to guard your heart. To guard your heart. Once I have opened my heart before the Lord and said, Lord, if there's anything here that's not pleasing to you, show it to me. And I've said, Lord, I want to make my heart right before you. And I've asked God to change my heart that I might know Him. Now that I've made these decisions and now that I leave this place and I leave my quiet time and I go out to serve the Lord, I need to say, now, Lord, in this day, I ask you to guard my heart from anything that would take me away from you. And if you've ever had a time in your life where you know that you've been close to God, where you've sensed God's presence in your life, that's a very precious time. And that can slip away very easily with one wrong joke, with one wrong movie, with one wrong attitude, with one family feud, with one sinful act. All of a sudden, that intimacy with God is now going away and we're losing fellowship. That's why we need to guard our heart all the time. And that's what the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. The word keep means to set up a gate around it, to watch your heart at all times. Now, sometimes, without trying, just through the daily routine of work and so forth, someone's heart can become very sinful in its thought process. And you see, no one just immediately becomes involved in some wicked sin of immorality. It starts where? In the heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what we need to do is when that first thought comes into the heart is we need to put the fence down and we need to guard the heart and we need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. And we need to say, this heart belongs to God. I don't have a heart of duplicity. This heart is God's heart and I want God's fullest blessings in my life. And I cannot let that one thought come in and taint the heart that I want to have, which is a pure heart with God. And so we turn away from that thought. Why? Because we're on guard. And that's the problem with Christians today. We don't have the guard up. We've let the guard down. And we want to live for the devil 6 days a week. And friend, what we need to do is guard our heart 7 days a week and be very careful not to allow sinful thoughts and attitudes to come in. Sometimes a Christian, without even trying, can become very critical. And all of a sudden, the attitude is not right. Let me tell you something. Guard your heart from that. And when you sense that happening in your heart, say, Lord, keep me from that. I don't want that kind of a heart. I want a pure heart. I don't want a heart of duplicity. I want a heart of sincerity before you. You need to guard your heart from the wrong words, from the wrong pictures, from anything that's going to hinder you from loving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. You need to make sure that your guard spiritually is up. Now, this society is changing so subtly and yet so rapidly that sometimes we're just becoming accustomed to things. I'm shocked that now that prime time is just flaunting homosexuality and lesbianism, Christians that a few years ago would have been shocked and outraged are just, whatever, let's see what it's all about. That's the sign of a people who've let the guard down from their heart. That's the sign of a people who are not guarding their heart. Listen to this. In 1946, they were getting ready for the first run of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And in 1946, they reviewed the movie, and there were some things that were censored from that movie before it could be shown. And I want to tell you the words that they censored from It's a Wonderful Life. They said, you cannot, on this movie, use the word jerk. We won't let you do that. They said, you cannot use the word lousy. We're not going to have that word on the movies. We're not going to have our children hearing that word lousy. They said, you cannot use the word God. You can't do that. They said, you cannot use the word impotent. That's a word you can't have on the movie. And they said, you cannot have the word garlic eaters. That's a bad word. We don't want to have that. Now think of that. 50 years ago in this country, they said, we're not going to have the words jerk and lousy on television. Now, in 50 years, think of where this country has come. Folks, it's gotten to the place where the most filthy, vile words and actions and scenes that you could ever imagine are on television, and it doesn't even shock the average Christian. Why? Because long ago, you stopped guarding your heart. You think that won't affect your marriage? You're wrong. You think that won't affect your thought process? You're wrong. The Bible says, guard your heart. And once you get on the road to developing the right heart with God, then set up some guards. And some of you need to say, we've let some things creep into our homes and into our hearts that should not be there. And by God's grace, we're throwing it out the window today. We'll set no wicked things before our eyes. We'll not allow wicked things into our ears. Why? Because we're going to guard our hearts. And I plead with you today that you would say, God, help me to guard my heart so that this heart would be a heart totally for you and not a heart of duplicity, not a heart of hypocrisy, but a heart, God, where you are reigning as the Lord of my life. So we see the definition of a pure heart. We see that from the Word of God. Secondly, we see the development of this pure heart. And how do we develop it? We understand that it's deceitfully wicked. We put our heart on trial before God and ask Him to show us anything that shouldn't be there. And as God shows that to us, we ask Him to make our heart sincere and true. And once God is doing that work in our hearts, then we set up some guards and we begin to watch. Now, parents, sometimes we'll set up guard posts for our children, but we don't for ourselves. And if it's wrong for our children to say certain words and do certain things, then we ought to say the same in our own lives. Guard your heart. Now, notice then, thirdly with me this morning, the destination of a pure heart. Where is a pure heart going to take me? And where is it going to take you? And this next point may be to a place that few of you have experienced in your lives. What is the destination of a pure heart? The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they, the Bible says, shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. One of the reasons our lives get so out of kilter is because there's this lack of intimacy with God. Now, do you really want to see God working in your life? Do you really want to see God in your family? Do you really want to see God in your life at work tomorrow? The Bible said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, to the spiritual man, there is nothing higher than this intimacy with God. There's no greater thrill. Listen, to the spiritual man or woman, they would not trade a closeness with God for any possession, for any experience this world has to offer. The spiritual man says, there's nothing greater than intimacy with God. That's the highest attainment in life, is that closeness in my heart with God. Now, first of all, as we think of this term, shall see God, let us quickly say that no one literally has seen God the Heavenly Father. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 18, no man has seen God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 16, no man hath seen God at any time. Even when Moses was in the presence of God, he saw merely the glory of God. The Bible referred to it as the hind part or the back. He did not see God the Father in that physical sense. And so when the Bible says we can see God, what does that mean? How can you and I see God? Now, we know that the first century Christians saw Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. But how can you and I today see God? How can you and I have a closeness with God? Well, there are three ways at least I'll mention to you this morning. One way is a way that is very obvious but sometimes overlooked. That is through His creation. The Bible says in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare the glories of God. The firmament displays His handiwork. And friend, when you drive and see the Grand Canyon and when you see the Sierra Nevada mountains, you are not seeing an accident of man. You are seeing the purposeful creation of God. And you and I can see God every day. We can see God if we'll open our eyes and look to these mountains on the way out today. We can see the glory and the power of God. But how else can we see God? We can see God in the circumstances of life. Someone who's pure in heart, listen, does not make distinction between the secular and the sacred. Someone who's pure in heart sees everything as sacred and sees everything as God working in the affairs of man. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. When you read the book of Matthew, at least 12 times in the book of Matthew, you'll find the word there, fulfilled, meaning that God fulfilled His program, His plan, and His prophecies in such He was revealing Himself. And so we can see God in the circumstances of this life. All things work together for good. In other words, God has His hand moving and working in all the affairs. Even the tragedies, yes, God is at work. Even the difficult moments, yes, God is at work. God is always working in the affairs of His people. And life is a series of appointments with God. And a person who has a pure heart is not cynical, does not blame God, does not say, why in the world did this happen? The person with a pure heart says, my God is at work here somehow. and he sees life through the eyes of clear vision because he has a pure heart. Now, if your heart is not pure, then you will be constantly cynical, constantly discouraged, constantly looking for the bad side, constantly saying, oh yeah, that's how it looks, but I bet you there's some kind of conspiracy there. But when your heart is pure, even when there is a war or a conspiracy, you can take a step back and say, my God is still on the throne, and my God is still working in the affairs of man, and the destination of the pure heart is that you're going to see God in everything. You're going to know that God is at work. How many of you believe God's at work today? Nothing catches our God by accident. And someone who has a pure heart for God, just totally trusting in God, says, I believe that God is at work even in the difficulties of life. I can see the hand of God because He is a great and a wonderful God. And I can testify as a pastor of nearly 11 years in this one church that I have seen God in this church. I have seen God put marriages back together. I have seen God speak to a man's heart so that he'll walk down an aisle to receive Jesus Christ. That's not me and that's not you. That's God. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I have seen God take a five-year-old church and let us build a $3.5 million building and embark now on another auditorium. That's not me. That's not you. That, my friends, is the hand of God. And as long as we have pure hearts, not hearts of duplicity, not hearts of hypocrisy, not hearts of cynicism, but hearts that hunger and thirst for God, we can expect to continue to see God in our midst. And when our hearts become filled with sin, and when our hearts become filled with cynicism, and when our hearts become filled with all fleshly attributes, we can expect to not see God in our midst. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we see God in creation, we see God in circumstances of life, and of course, thirdly, we can see God in the Bible. This is the Word of God. Turn to John chapter 5, if you would, this morning. John chapter 5 and verse 39. How many of you believe the Bible is the Word of God this morning? Amen? You believe that? And in the Word of God, you can see God. Now look at John 5:39. Jesus is giving to us here this admonition. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Now here, the Bible is telling us of God the Heavenly Father. And the Bible says that the Father has sent Christ, but that the Scriptures will testify of God when Christ is not physically present. We can know God through the Word of God. And you know, it's an amazing thing. Again, you don't need a new job. You don't need a new set of circumstances. What we need is to get back to knowing God. Now, God may give you a new job. I don't think He'll give you a new wife, fellas. I don't think that's His will. Amen. Thank God for the one you have. But God may give you a new job. God may give you a new car. But now, wait a minute. What we need more than to change our circumstances is to change our hearts. And we see in the Word of God very clearly that we can know Him and we can know His will because He testifies through His Word. And we come to Him, we say, Lord, speak to me from Your Word. Show me from Your Word that which I need to know. And so we see the destination of the pure heart. You will see God in creation. You will see God in circumstances. You will see God in the Bible. This is what I'm trying to say this morning. Rather than trying to switch all your external circumstances, why don't you try reading the Bible again? Many times Christians read every other book, even good Christian books, more than the Bible. Friend, I want to tell you something. You will not see God apart from reading His Word. This Word testifies of Him. And maybe what your family needs more than a new love seat is a family time of reading the Bible together. So that your family, being pure in heart, will see God. Now, if God gives you a new love seat and you can sit on it and read the Bible together, praise God. But I'd rather have a family seated on the floor without a new love seat that knows God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, think of these three simple questions. Number one, is Jesus in your heart? Has there been a time with the totality of your inner being, you reached out in faith and received Jesus Christ as Savior? Is Jesus in your heart? Are you saved? That's the most important question anybody ever asks you. And if Jesus is in your heart, you are not uncomfortable when somebody asks you that question. Okay? Is Jesus in your heart? Secondly, is your heart pure before Him today? Is your heart pure before Him today? Or is there something that has crept in that needs to be thrown out and then the guard set up? Is your heart for Him today? Christians, that's a very serious question. Is your heart for Him today? And then here's the third level question. Are you seeing God in your life today? Some of you might say, well, you know, generally, there are a few things I need to throw out. I want to set the guards up. I'm trying to know God in a greater way. But some of you might want to step beyond that today and say, I want to see Him in my life. I want to know Him, yes. I want to have a heart for Him, yes. But I am longing to see Him in my life. I want to see Him in my children. I want to see Him in my family. I want to see Him in my church. I want to see Him in my Sunday school class. I want to see Him working at my workplace. I want to see God in that way. Do you know the Lord? Is He in your heart? Do you have a heart that's pure for Him? And are you seeing God in your life? Warren Wiersbe wrote these words, and I think they sum up this message so very well. The highest joy of man comes from cultivating the deepest part of man, the heart. When the heart is pure, the vision is clear. The highest joy of man comes from cultivating the deepest part of man, which is the heart. When the heart is pure, the vision is clear. Now, I'm not trying to be critical today. I'm trying to be helpful. And I can say this from my own life. When our hearts are not pure, our vision is messed up. And sometimes the reason you can see your way clear, and then other times your vision is blurred, and sometimes you're just confused, and sometimes it just seems like, you know, I just don't know what's going on. If I can say this with all sincerity and humility today, it's not those circumstances. It's the heart. And sometimes the reason that our vision is not clear is because our heart is not pure. And the highest joy that comes to a man is in cultivating the deepest part of a man. And this world is great on making the outside shine, is it not? But God says, I want to work on you from the inside out. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this time to preach Your word this morning. And Lord, this series on the Beatitudes is a different type of a series, but I pray that You would help us to learn from it. Speak to our hearts this morning.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying the life God blesses. You know, the most blessed life is a life that's entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith. Lots of people are religious. Lots of people believe in God. But the Bible says the way to be born into Christ is to come to Him in faith, to trust Him, to acknowledge that you cannot save yourself, and to claim Him as your only Savior, to place 100% of your faith in Him. And friend, wherever you may be in this moment, we would encourage you to bow your head and heart to make that simple but important decision to place your faith in Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.